Gavin McInnes announced today that he will be suing the Southern Poverty Law Center for defaming him, claiming that he advocates and pushes for the use of political violence, while also labeling his former group, the Proud Boys, as an extremist hate group. The Proud Boys are designated as such in the section on the SPLC's website called the Extremist Files, in which you can find multiple groups such as the Ku Klux Klan, the League of the South, and multiple other actual racist, self-avowed extreme groups, but in which they sprinkle other groups, such as the Proud Boys. You'll also find the Center for Immigration Studies and multiple other organizations which are not hateful, not extreme, and not meant to promote any form of bigotry. But this is a very common tactic in groups like this. There's also a group called Hope Not Hate. It was one of the first reports that I did. But they take extremist groups and they list all of them. And then within, you'll find just a few here and there groups which are not extremist and not hateful, but they sprinkle them in and they juxtapose them with actually dangerous groups. This is a very common tactic of so-called anti-hate websites and organizations such as Hope Not Hate, and in this case, the Southern Poverty Law Center. Now, Gavin McInnes is asking the court to declare that all of these actions committed by the Southern Poverty Law Center be acknowledged as malicious and unlawful. And he's asking that they reward him with all damages that should be received as a result of employment opportunities which he has lost, which he says are many, and any employment opportunities which will not be available to him now as a result of this defamation. McInnes makes an excellent point in his press release when he says, Ben Carson is an extremist to them. So is Laura Ingraham, the Tea Party, Jeanine Pirro, and a group of volunteer lawyers called the Alliance Defending Freedom, the Center for Immigration Studies, Ayan Hirsi Ali, Majid Nawaz. Majid was a jihadist who toned it down and became a moderate Muslim. For that, he was deemed an anti-Muslim extremist. He sued the SPLC and won. I intend to win too. As I said a moment ago, McInnes has lost multiple employment opportunities as well as multiple streams of income already as a result of the accusations leveled by the SPLC and groups like it. But that's not where it stops. McInnes and other people like him who have been falsely targeted by these groups have also faced persecution in real life. I'm not just talking about not being able to get a job, but being harassed, accosted, and often assaulted in real life. I've been told by someone who's aware of what's going on that McInnes' children have been targeted as well. McInnes also says that he is not doing this just to protect his reputation and his family, but to protect everyone else's. The SPLC has gone from a noble institution genuinely dedicated to eradicating hate to a hate group in and of itself that pretends this country is frothing with bigots desperate to foment World War III. They purposely lie about their enemies in an attempt to destroy them, and it's become a very effective way to make money. The attorney representing McInnes, Ron Coleman, emphasized, this lawsuit has implications beyond Gavin McInnes because we're challenging the use of deplatforming and defunding to privately censor speech. If we cannot stop this phenomenon now, the First Amendment will be rendered meaningless as dissent is silenced through private actors such as SPLC and its allies. McInnes is fighting to win, and I know that the people associated with his lawsuit are confident that it will be ruled in their favor. However, we can never be too sure with the powers that be. What is clear, what we can be sure of, is that our view of what rights are in America will be radically changed as a result of these lawsuits and others coming like it. And I have it on good authority from those that will be bringing them forward that these lawsuits will continue. This is not the last of them. And as a result, the way that we view rights in America will be radically changed. We can no longer restrict only the government and make sure that they cannot infringe upon our rights. But with the advent of multinational corporations, mega billionaires, nonprofit organizations such as the Southern Poverty Law Center, it's clear that we not only need to restrict the government, but we have to make sure that private entities and individuals are not able to restrict rights either.
All right,
if you'd like to keep up with this case and all its developments, you can find it at
InfoWars.com. The full report from Jake Lloyd is at InfoWars.com, and Roger Stone is going to be joining me on the other side of this short break. But this is what we have to do now. We have to take legal action. This is why I had to press charges against the lady for sexually assaulting me. We cannot let these people run roughshod over our lives anymore. I know Roger Stone wants to comment on us on the other side, of course. He's a perfect example of how they're running roughshod over his life. So we'll be right back with the War Room. Don't go anywhere. Wednesday, February 6th, 2019. Welcome to the Infowars.com War Room, brought to you by TurboForce at InfowarsStore.com. And we just had the report from Jake Lloyd talking about Gavin McGinnis suing the Southern Poverty Law Center. Really, it should be a class action suit, or there should be a bunch of people jumping onto that suit, Infowars included, and the dozens of other people that have been libeled by the Southern Poverty Law Center, highlighted in that report that we rolled. This is why I had to press charges against a woman for sexually assaulting me. That's why I wanted to press charges against that maniac who bit my mic cover off. I mean, you cannot even imagine the derangement. But this is what we have to do now to stop the bullying and just to stop them running roughshod over our lives, over this country, over the justice system. Of course, Roger has been on the receiving end of that. My co-host Roger Stone joins me now. Roger, I know that listening to that report, a lot of things were coming into your mind. Obviously, you've already been gagged on social media for years now, so they don't want you speaking there. But these lawsuits are the answer, or pressing charges when they assault you in the street. It's sending a message to these people that, hey, you're not going to get away with this anymore. We're going to stand up for ourselves. And if you're going to try to destroy me, we're going to take the proper legal action. So what did you think about Gavin McGinnis suing the Southern Poverty Law Center, Roger?
Well, the Southern Poverty Law Center was started by Morris Dees, who was the finance director for George McGovern's 1972 campaign for president. He is really the father of left-wing direct mail fundraising. And essentially, the Southern Poverty Law Center is a financial scam, scaring millions of little old ladies, many of whom are Jewish, about Nazis that don't really exist. I have a number of questions for Mr. Dees. How much are your fees, Morris? How much are you taking in compensation? And what are your price per piece direct mail fees? Who owns the house file of donors? Is that co-owned by you and the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is really one in the same? Why don't you publish a financial report, a certified financials, to figure out how much you and your cohorts are taking out the back door? Just because of your name calling doesn't make somebody an extremist. In fact, you're the extremist. You're the terrorist. You're the dangerous with dangerous pro-communist tendencies. I identify you as dangerous. People should send InfoWars a contribution by going to the InfoWars.com site, finding the donate button, so we can use the money to expose your rampant thievery. At a minimum, your profligate fees to yourselves. You're fooling no one. The only people reading your ridiculous reports are the poor little old ladies that you're bilking out of money. So that is how I think Gavin McGinnis should go about this. I think there has to be at least one donor to the Southern Poverty Law Center to bring a lawsuit for full disclosure. And I would examine the Southern Poverty Law Center's nonprofit status, because I suspect Mr. Dees is making a healthy profit in his fees and his compensation. Anyway, Owen, I thought yesterday was a triumphant day because the president's speech was nothing less than Reagan-esque, both in its delivery, its atmospherics, its uplifting spirit, and by the various challenges he made to the Democrats. One obvious question: what's wrong with Nancy Pelosi? Is she mentally deficient? Has she had a major stroke? Or did she put away a fifth of scotch before the speech? It's very hard to say. And what's with the rustling of papers while the president is speaking, trying to like distract attention from the commander in chief? It was nothing short of rude. It shows the kind of manners you'd expect from the daughter of a mob boss, which is exactly what she is. The other day, she said a person is known by their associates. Well, Nancy, your associate, what, your father was an associate of the mob, of the Italian-American mafia. And I say that as a proud Italian-American. But you're about as mobbed up as it could be. the D'Alessandro machine in Baltimore. They were running prostitution, drugs, numbers, and worse. That is the legacy of Nancy Pelosi's political birthright. Meanwhile, the president stood tall, and I haven't seen that many Democrats wearing white since they founded the Ku Klux Klan. Octavio Cortez was quoted on social media saying the president's speech was an embarrassment. No, baby, the only embarrassment is you. 76% of the American people approved of the president's approach. And you can't argue with the results. Not only are we having the greatest single economic comeback since Ronald Reagan, but the president has made it very clear he's prepared to take on the deep state to end the endless foreign wars in which we are squandering American blood and American treasure without our inherent national interests being clear. We were supposed to be in Afghanistan for a few months. We've been there for 17 years. We were supposed to have a limited deployment in Syria, but we have poured literally billions into these hotspots without victory in sight because victory cannot be obtained this way. Now we're actually in peace negotiations in Afghanistan. Oh my God, the left is going crazy. Peace? We're against peace if Donald Trump is for it. You see, they're against anything the president is for. It blows my mind that Maxine Waters, John Lewis, and a handful of other African-American Democrats actually voted against the president's proposal, which passed both houses, to end the harsh mandatory penalties for the nonviolent first-time crime of possession of minor amounts of drugs. This is an ignominious, racist, failed policy that has been in place for far too long. And it's a Republican president who ended it, working with sane Democrats. Yet how does a handful of African Americans who have preached exactly this for decades vote against it? Nancy Pelosi is one thing, but Maxine Waters needs to recognize the James Brown Foundation wants that wig back. And she and her husband should be prosecuted for using her official position to pressure the federal government to bail out a bank that she and her husband owned stock in and her husband served on the board of. If she were a Hispanic Republican, she'd be in jail right now. Kind of reminds me of Cory Booker. When he was the mayor of Newark, he voted to have a city water authority pay $600,000 to his law firm, which he quickly pocketed. Then he said that he had no role in the awarding of the legal contract, even though the minutes of the authority showed him present and voting yes. Then he said, well, it was deferred compensation from his firm. Oh, no, it was a partner buyout. Oh, no, it was for legal work he had done. Believe me, if Cory Booker were a Hispanic Republican, even a Hispanic Democrat, perhaps, he'd be in jail. But he's part of the protected class that Tucker Carlson has talked so much about. A great day for President Donald Trump, not such a great day for the Democrats who look sour, dour, and negative. The worst part of yesterday, of course, was the Facebook ban on our terrific show, The War Room, which means now you've got to go directly to the site, Infowars.com/war room, I believe it is. Correct me if I'm wrong, Owen, but you can still get the joint work of Owen Schroyer and Roger Stone by going directly to the site. I'm Roger Stone. I'm here with Owen Schroyer. We're sporting our t-shirts and we'll be right back.
Roger Stone is on fire today. He must have taken his Turbo Force from Infowarsstore.com. I know I took mine. I got it right here next to the desk. Every day, 3 o'clock, guaranteed. All right, folks, we're going to have more from Roger Stone when we get back, and we're going to take your phone calls, hear what you think about last night's State of the Union address. This is The War Room, freshly banned on Facebook. Gotta like that.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to the Infowars.com War Room, brought to you by Turbo Force from Infowarsstore.com. And We're going to open up the phone lines here with Roger Stone and get your response to the State of the Union last night. But first, I want to play some of these highlights, get Roger's response, and then get to your calls. Let's first go to clip 9. And again, so much of this, you know, the president is just speaking truth and just saying common sense, you know, logical things. And it's just amazing to see the Democrat response to this. Their physical, emotional response to this is really telling. So in clip 9, here is the young socialist Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez refusing to stand and applaud when Trump says he wants to stop sex trafficking.
Today, he leads investigations into the scourge of international sex trafficking. Elvin says that if I can make sure these young girls get their justice, I've really done my job. Thanks to his work and that of his incredible colleagues, more than 300 women and girls have been rescued from the horror of this terrible situation. And more than 1,500 sadistic traffickers have been put behind bars.
Now, you think everyone would cheer for that. There's the Republicans. Oh, and there's Cortez. And she looks over to her handlers. They say, nope, we're not standing. Okay, all right, well, we'll stand, but don't cheer. Don't cheer. But just stand there. No, this is not good.
Thank you, Roger.
I mean, you can actually see it all play out in the film. She doesn't stand, she doesn't cheer, and then she looks her left, her handlers tell her what to do, and then she does it. So she's totally just being handled by these Democrats. But Roger, what do you make of Democrats, you know, hesitantly standing and cheering when the president says we're going to stop sex trafficking? And then you have Nancy Pelosi in the background, like you said, just drunkenly fumbling around these papers. I mean, what do you think about this, Roger?
You know, it just gives you an example of the kind of rank partisanship that you see in Washington. Today, Congressman Adam Schiff, as in if it's Schiff, flush it, was saying that the president has been unchecked for 2 years. No, Adam, you and your criminal cohorts have been unable to come up with any evidence of Russian collusion, even though you said on Chuck Todd's Meet the Press that you had seen more than circumstantial evidence. So I'm calling you out, Adam. Where is it? Produce it. Let's see it. You can have 2 years and all the subpoena power you want, but you won't find it. You, on the other hand, need to answer questions about whether you use taxpayer money to pay off a 19-year-old who accused you of sexual assault. I'm not saying that you did. I'm not saying you didn't. I'm saying you should answer the question. Or why you took those calls from a Ukrainian call-in host offering you naked pictures of the president. I call that collusion. Or tell us about your relationship with Ed Buck. I know you gave his contributions to charity, very big of you. Did you tell the LA County Sheriff not to prosecute him for murder of young gay black men? I suspect you did. Why don't you deny it? No, Adam Schiff is the greatest huckster, the greatest con man, the greatest fraud, the greatest manipulator to ever hit Congress. And he will be called in my trial as a witness. And he better put away a day and a half because we have many, many questions to ask him. For example, when he said in my hearing that the FBI did examine the server of the DNC, what did he mean? Or was he lying in the meeting? And why should he be allowed to lie? I didn't, but he did. It will be proven. But you saw him on the floor yesterday looking like the pop-eyed freak that he is. When will he get a drug test? That's my question. I'm hearing mine, by the way. I passed.
I'm hearing off faintly in the distance. I'm hearing chants of Roger, Roger, Roger. All right, let's now go to, by the way, Kamala Harris, I think, was the only Democrat woman to not wear white last night. I've not seen comments as to why. But here's Kamala Harris. I mean, you have to wonder, is Kamala Harris profiting off of drug cartels and human traffickers? Because she seemed very despondent and upset last night when President Trump said, We are going to combat the drug cartels and combat the human traffickers. Let's see that clip.
It's the time for Congress to show the world that America is committed to ending illegal immigration and putting the ruthless coyotes, cartels, drug dealers, and human traffickers out of business.
Everybody stands and cheers. Long applause. And Kamala Harris, frumpy, shaking her head. She can't believe it. Oh, no. How dare he want to stop human trafficking and drugs?
We have a moral duty to create an immigration system that protects the lives and jobs of our citizens. This includes our obligation to the millions of immigrants living here today who followed the rules and respected our laws.
So, Kamala Harris, the only Democrat woman, I believe, that didn't wear white. Not sure what that's about. But, I mean, Roger, again, I really think it's beyond hyper-partisanship. It's something else. It's something much darker where Kamala Harris is looking, I mean, beyond. I mean, she's, like, pissed. I mean, she's, like, pissed. She's like, you're attacking my business. You're attacking my livelihood. Drug cartels, human traffickers. Like, that's Kamala Harris's stuff, I guess, because she seems awfully upset that President Trump wants to stop it. Roger has now been frozen in time. Frozen in time. All right, well, let's go now then to clip seven. Here's Ilhan Omar, who is very upset over Trump's illegal immigration comments. Well, if she had it her way, you could just marry everybody and get them into this country. So let's go to Ilhan Omar's response.
Tolerance for illegal immigration is not compassionate. It is actually very cruel.
There's the fake Indian. She keeps getting
exposed. 1 in 3 women is sexually assaulted on the long journey north.
So Ilhan Omar, very, very upset. All right, she wants all the illegal immigrants here. She'd marry them all if she could. Let's now go to Bernie Sanders, and then we'll take a break and take your calls and get Roger back. Very upset that Trump says America will never be socialist.
Here in the United States, we are alarmed by the new calls to adopt socialism in our country. America was founded on liberty and independence, and not government coercion, domination, and control. We are born free, and we will stay free.
We were born free, and we will stay free. And Bernie Sanders can't stand it.
Infowars.com/show.
Warning.
This broadcast
is not for the
weak-minded.
It's the War Room
with Owen Schroyer
and Roger Stone. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
The Republicans chanting USA at the State of the Union last night. You also had Congress sing happy birthday to a Holocaust survivor. Pretty cool stuff last night. Alice Johnson was also in the State of the Union and mentioned in a powerful moment. But it's funny, you see everyone chanting USA. The Democrats chose not to do that. Welcome back to the Infowars.com War Room. Brought to you by TurboForce at InfowarsStore.com. So, Roger, we can now clearly see, as if it wasn't obvious enough during the first State of the Union. I mean, it's not rhetoric. This isn't us just coming out here saying this. It's provable by the Democrat response. I'm only left to assume that the Democrats want wide open borders, illegal immigration, drug trafficking, human trafficking, and I guess just the fall of the United States. Because whenever President Trump says these are the things we're going to try to stop from happening, they get all upset. Roger, have you ever seen in all of your years covering politics a State of the Union where the president says something that's just right down the middle, pro-America, and one side of the aisle decides to bemoan it? Have you ever seen that before?
Well, and here's some breaking news. An actress named Martley Matlin just tweeted photos of me this morning getting my hair cut, denouncing me. She's most famous for being deaf. How does she feel about the fact that the FBI rousted my 71-year-old wife, who's hearing impaired, at gunpoint from our bedroom, making her stand in the street in her nightgown and barefooted at 5:50 in the morning? Hey, Marley, you're an advocate for those who are hearing impaired and deaf. How do you feel about the FBI abuse of my wife? You can find this disgraceful attack on Twitter right now. It just shows you the looniness of the left. Now, Marley is speaking here in Fort Lauderdale tonight, and a group of my friends are going to go because they'd like to talk to her about tolerance.
I found this Marley, who is this now? Marley Matlin. Here, if you guys haven't found it, I couldn't pull it up on a doc cam. Here's the picture she puts out. And it's her sitting at the salon. It looks like you're talking to a couple people. You're getting your hair cut. That's actually funny, Roger. I got my hair cut today, too. How do you like that? We didn't even plan it that way. She's obviously very upset that you're there. I mean, oh, my gosh, it's Roger Stone. And I'm sure, Roger, you were probably being loud and obnoxious and, like, chanting things and making a big scene, too, right?
Actually, I was just getting my hair cut. If you see her longer...
Well, no. Hey, whoa. You're not allowed to get your hair cut, Roger. You're not allowed to get your hair cut because you might offend somebody with your presence.
It really shows you how sick it's gotten. I mean, yesterday, I think the number of death threats actually has reached a crescendo. We had 17 different threats yesterday against me or members of my family. This is really getting old. It is the left, it's the Jared Holtz who foment violence and bigotry and hatred. In front of the courthouse, Jared called one of my supporters the N-word. Yes, you heard it here. Yet he will go out and deny it and continue his greasy little insidiousness. This kid's a creep, and he has no credibility at all. None. He's not only a creep, but he's a bigot and a racist, and that's disgraceful.
All right, we've got callers lined up. They'd like to talk to Roger Stone and respond to President Trump's State of the Union last night. We're going to start off with Nick calling in from Michigan. Go ahead, Nick.
Hello, and hello, Roger. I want to thank you guys for what you guys put up with. And if I could plug in InfoWarsLife.com, we use the fish oil and the Survival Shield and a few of the Alexa Pure and the water filter at home every day. So I just wanted to say thank you guys for that.
Well, thank you for your support, Nick.
If I could say anything about Trump last night, I'm a supporter of him myself. I was happy that, you know, he went the core values of what he was saying originally going into the presidency. I'm happy that he went for the border security, and, you know, if I could say one thing that I guess that I'm sad that he didn't mention would be global warming. You know, it's hard to expect him to call it out necessarily in the State of the Union, but we both know how he feels about it.
Well, and he's already politically done so much to get us out of those bad deals. And now you have Cortez trying to make the new Green Deal. But, you know, you make a good point, Nick. And I think the one highlight that I would say from your point is he talked about ending these foreign wars, ending these never-ending wars, you know, free nations don't involve themselves in nation building. Roger, that was something to me that was refreshing and a talking point that you don't really get too much out of the White House or the president. Maybe he's going to start going back to this message of let's bring the troops home from Syria. Let's bring the troops home from Afghanistan. Let's stop these never-ending wars. Let's stop with all the blood and sand. Roger, I thought it was a very strong move by President Trump to go back on to his anti-war bully pulpit, something the left used to celebrate. But even that, Roger, the Democrats pouted at.
Yeah, it was interesting. The best thing about last night was the repudiation of Bernie Sanders. I mean, the man looked like a tired old buffoon. He talks endlessly about black people, but he doesn't represent any or doesn't know any in Vermont. And his entire political system is now discredited. If you ask me, the entire delegation of ladies in white, plus Bernie, should take a field trip to Venezuela. I just hope they like the taste of dog.
Well, and there's actually a video. I'm going to see if we can get it here real quick. If not, guys, it's okay. Or you can just roll the B-roll. Somebody, I guess, was following or found Bernie Sanders at the airport or something, and he's faking it like he's on a phone call to avoid this person's question. The person is just simply asking if he'll comment about the third in line for Virginia governor. The first two are now guilty of blackface, whether you think that's good or bad. Either way, that's the story. And then the third one has these sexual assault claims, allegations made against him. So, yeah, there's the video. This guy's just trying to ask him a question. He's not even being rude. And Bernie fakes like he's on a phone call. He kind of points down the other direction like literally it's just strange behavior from these people. They're just totally lost. Like, he doesn't even, he's like, literally, that's what he does. So, Roger, I mean, it's like, are these people just finally being exposed as the total dupes that they are? Or is Trump like sending them down some weird, dark, creepy path? I mean, how do you explain this behavior?
Well, but maybe Bernie doesn't realize that there's nobody on the other end of the phone. In other words, maybe he's around the bend. He does act pretty wacky, but it must be tough at his point in life to see everything you've crusaded for. Your insistence for a lack of freedom, your desire for government control of everyone's lives, completely discredited. His entire life is a failure. He couldn't even beat Hillary Clinton. He got taken to the cleaners by a crooked kleptocrat, and then he kissed her butt. He begged for forgiveness instead of doing the honorable thing and refusing to endorse her. So, look, I used to think he was a true-believing leftist, a man of left-wing principle. He turns out to be just another political hoe, and he endorses Hillary Clinton in an act of treachery to everything he believes in. It was that day that I began to see that Bernie Sanders is just another two-bit political hack who believes in nothing whatsoever.
And Bernie Sanders probably should have gone and gotten a haircut with us today. It's funny, Roger has people seeing him at the hair salon, and they say, oh my gosh, I can't believe Roger's here. The people at the barbershop I go to, they don't necessarily agree with everything we do, but they're not afraid of fellow Americans. I mean, what a joke.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back into the War Room. My co-host Roger Stone has had to bail out. A rabid group of protesters has formed outside of his home, and so he's dealing with that now. I do believe we have an exclusive image of these protesters. Did we get that image, guys? Was that image sent to us? Oh, my gosh. Oh, wow. Well, you can obviously understand why Roger had to go when you've got these people forming outside of your house like an angry mob. So that's what Roger Stone has to deal with. We'll continue to take your phone calls, though. But real quick, have to remind you about a brand new product at InfoWarsStore.com, and that is TurboForce, which I've just decided to make an executive decision, and TurboForce is now the official sponsor of the War Room because I take the TurboForce pretty much, unless I've already had a coffee that day or a soda unless I've already had a caffeinated drink. I drink Turbo Force every day at 3 o'clock now. That's the stimulant I take before I go on air. It used to be I would drink the Patriot Blend coffee from InfoWarsStore.com every day at 3. But after about a year and a half of that, I just kind of got sick of it. And the Turbo Force is just so much more effective. I don't have to go back to get 2 or 3 cups. And it lasts through the night. So I plan on exercising later, maybe playing a couple hours of basketball. And the energy that I get from Turbo Force that I took at 3 o'clock will sustain me all the way through tonight. I usually finish on Wednesday nights around 10, 10:30. So try Turbo Force for yourself from InfoWarsStore.com. And if you purchase Turbo Force with, we now offer Brain Force for 50% off with the purchase of Turbo Force. So you can get Brain Force 50% off with a purchase of Turbo Force. Of course, there's other great deals at InfoWarsStore.com, including 50% off Ultimate Bone Broth. In fact, I realized I'm going to have to do this. Maybe I'll do this tonight or sometime before the weekend. But you had that soy boy from Vice do the, I guess it was the InfoWars challenge or something, and he really just embarrassed himself. And, you know, I don't really want to really just embarrass him, but like, so I'll just do my bone broth shake. I won't do the rest of the stuff that he tried to do, which really just made him look pathetic. Yeah, exactly. You see, he didn't realize that you had to stir the bone broth into the beverage. He thought you just put it in there and drank it. You know, again, not the brightest fellow. But so I was going to do a whole thing and, like, you know, actually go work out and show my whole routine and everything and be like, no, this is the InfoWars life, not this freak show soy boy here. But I don't want to wait. It's not even worth it. People already know my routine. So I'm just going to do a video with my bone broth shake just for him, really, so he can know that, you know, you actually, when you put the powder in, you should at least stir it so that you don't get those clumps. I mean, that's just like, we didn't know we had to put that on the directions. We thought you were brighter than that. Apparently not. Or maybe it was just him. But it's InfoWarsStore.com that makes everything possible, folks. And the products are the real deal. Try them for yourself. Read the thousands of 5-star reviews. Go to InfoWarsStore.com and just browse around. We've got household items like toothbrushes, toothpaste, shampoo, body wash, bug spray. It's all at InfoWarsStore.com. And we take calls. We don't ask for people to plug when they call, and they do. It's inevitable every day. That's because the products work and they're the real deal. Okay. Speaking of our great callers, we're going to go back out to them now. We've got Tom called in from Texas. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, how are you, brother? Thanks for taking my call. Unfortunately, Roger can't hear me and dealing with more of these devils we got to mess with, but just wanted to support him and all he's dealing with. There are real Americans and real patriots that do stand with him. My reason for calling is watching the State of the Union last night, dealing with all the satanic mess we have to deal with, from killing live children to President Trump standing up for sexual assault victims and everything else. And the evil we have to face is a level I thought I'd never see. As for me and my family, we're Christians. We believe the Bible, and we believe in taking care of your own. And it says in that book to come out of her, my people. And that means don't take part in this world and fight the evils that are in it. So I'm glad to see Trump invoking the name of God in this country. It's good to hear and it's good to see, and I hope it takes real effect. That's what I'm hoping for.
Well, it's almost in the same trend as everything else. It's either like you're getting closer to God or you're getting closer to the devil or farther from God, depending on how you want to phrase it. But like, for example, this is kind of out of left field, but I just happened to stumble upon these clips last night. And I'm reviewing the situation back at D.C. a few weeks ago with the Covington Catholic boys. And I don't know how I never heard these clips before. And I think maybe nobody really heard them. I mean, I know people did, but it didn't really get talked about as much as it should have. The black Hebrew group that shows up there is actually shouting at these young boys racial slurs, saying they should die, saying they're school shooters. In fact, but there's multiple clips where the black Hebrew group calls them F words and all this stuff. And the young Catholic boys are like, hey, that's not very nice. Like, hey, you should be more tolerant. And at one point, they're insulting gay people and basically saying that gay people are all damned to hell. And the young boys respond like, hey, you know, they're people too. We care about them. And it's just like, I mean, every way, every angle you slice, those young Catholic boys did the best that they could. Their tolerance and patience, everything was just incredible. And it's not, again, it gets totally twisted into they're the bad guys. And again, it's all this demonic leftism that's just about destroying reality, destroying truth, attacking innocence. And I have to deal with it. I mean, look, I go out in the streets and I deal with these people. I go out and face these scum. So, Tom, I just feel like people are just getting closer to God or they're getting closer to the devil, whether they realize it or not.
Well, I have a 12-year-old daughter, and I wear a lot of the InfoWars shirts. I have probably 10 of them or so. I'm not even sure. And she wanted to wear the red I Stand With Trump shirt that y'all put out whenever he was getting elected and previously thereafter. So I got her one, and she wore it to school. And it wasn't a problem till maybe 6 months ago. And I got called into the office because people were complaining about it. And I'm in small town Texas. I'm just south of Fort Worth. This is supposed to be a red state, everything else. It's not just Washington, D.C. This is happening. This is everywhere. We have the evils that we're having to deal with. It's unreal. I never thought I would ever see something like this.
Well, Tom, and two, it's like, I can't believe this. So it's like, okay, A, you're in Texas.
Yeah.
And so you can't even wear a shirt supporting a Republican president. B,
right.
You can't even wear a shirt supporting the president. And then C, if you really want to get down to brass tacks here, you know, if your daughter would have worn a Bernie shirt or an Obama shirt to class, there would be no problem at all. There's the shirt right there, or it was the red one. Trump is your president. I'm not sure which one you're talking about, but you're telling me that you had to go into the school and have a meeting with administrators because your daughter wore a Trump shirt?
Well, it wasn't an official meeting. It was a call from the teacher of basically kids hassling her. It wasn't staff or anything else. It was...
Okay, so it was more like they're like looking out for your daughter, right. Like she's right. Getting harassed.
But it was the people, and this is why we actually are starting homeschooling now with a Christian school backup, is because the atmosphere we're in, my 9-year-old daughter was accused of being a lesbian because her and her friend were jump roping together. Okay, this is what our world has become. It is, you can't even go anywhere. I've been called a Nazi for wearing the OD green InfoWars shirt up in Fort Worth, Texas.
Oh, the hexagon logo?
Yes, it's my favorite.
Well, yeah, I mean, didn't you see the reports? I was in Berkeley, California, being called a Nazi, and so I did a fake Nazi salute, clearly fake. I'm laughing about it while on air saying, watch me do this fake Nazi salute. They're going to run news stories saying I'm a Nazi. They did it. I totally trolled them. So, yeah, but I was wearing that shirt when it happened, so maybe that's why. Well, Tom, thank you for calling in. Thank you for sharing that story about what happens when your family wears Trump shirts. It's sad that that's what happens in this country, but that's the intolerant bullies that the left has become. By the way, the InfoWars Hexagon logo shirt that I've on right now is at InfoWarsStore.com. Spring and summer are a few months away, folks. You're going to want to get this InfoWars Hexagon logo polo. Trust me.
Infowars.com/show.
The fight
for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
I was actually shocked that I made an inaccurate prediction last night. I was pleasantly shocked. Very rarely do my predictions on media coverage or media spin Very rarely am I wrong on those. I was wrong last night. I said that get ready for the media to run damage control on the total success that was President Trump's State of the Union last night. And I expected to tune in to CNN and MSNBC today and just see all kinds of spin and lambasting. I was wrong. I was stunned. In fact, on CNN today, I was monitoring CNN for 3 or 4 hours this morning, monitoring MSNBC, because I was really focused on paying attention to how they responded today. And I'm telling you, I was stunned. Not only are they, for the most part, covering President Trump's State of the Union last night in a positive way, and even CNN had to admit it was positive, they were also attacking Democrats. They were attacking Elizabeth Warren for saying she was Native American. Does this put her whole law degree in jeopardy? Some people have debated. They were attacking some of the Democrats for their scowls during the State of the Union. They were attacking what's going on in Virginia right now, where the mayor, the second to be mayor, and the lieutenant governor all have scandals right now. And it's really so stupid because, look, you know, it was funny because a friend of mine was telling me about this blackface story because he did a quote-unquote blackface stunt, but it wasn't a blackface stunt. His high school football team, their colors were black and red. So the cheerleaders one night decided that half of them would do their faces black and half of them would do their faces red for the football game. They're not even thinking about any racial aspect or trying to change their skin tone or play a character. They're doing it to support the football team. And the next day, the media is saying it's racist and they have to disavow. And these are just high school students like, what? I was just painting my face for my football team. Like, what's going on here? And so the whole thing is ridiculous. And honestly, nobody would even be making a big deal out of this if it wasn't for the left virtue signaling over any racial anything, claiming racism. And then you realize how smart President Trump was last night calling out Ralph Northam for his support of baby murder and ignoring the whole blackface scandal, which is really just a distraction, which was probably put out by his own people. His own people probably approached him and said, you know, you basically just said you want to murder babies, so we got to do something about this. Is there anything from your past that we can bring up to distract from this? He says, well, you know, I used to be called the Coon Man, and I dressed up in blackface a lot as a kid, and maybe we can do that. So they say, great, do you have any photo evidence of that? Yeah, there's a yearbook photo. Okay, we'll leak it. And so they leak the yearbook photo, it gets out. Now all of a sudden nobody's talking about the fact he just said he wants to murder babies outside of the womb that are living and breathing and you know, gifts of joy. And, you know, now all of a sudden you're talking about this picture. Is he in blackface? Is he in a Klansman outfit? I mean, and it's all just stupid. But that's what they do. But I have to say, I was pleasantly surprised monitoring CNN and MSNBC today. And I would say 80% of their coverage on the State of the Union was fair or even positive. I mean, what is happening right now? That is really unheard of. That is a demarcation line that we have not seen since Donald Trump was elected president. Of course, there were the detractors. Chuck Todd, one of them, saying it was the theater of the absurd. I think Cortez had some stupid comment she made too, but that's fine. Nobody takes too much stake into that. Just gets a bunch of hype. But even all the polls, most people approved of the State of the Union last night. It got rave reviews. I put out a poll. Most people were giving it an A. We're taking calls today. Most people support it. We'll take calls on the other side of this break. Don't go anywhere. Into the Infowars.com war room brought to you by TurboForce at Infowarsstore.com. And we are taking your phone calls in response to last night's State of the Union. I'm going to be joined by Leo Zagami in 30 minutes to talk about the news coming out of the Vatican, where the Pope is now admitting... last year it was they had to admit about all these gay orgies happening. This year they're admitting that they had nuns as sex slaves. Last year they admitted that they put a specific necklace on young Catholic boys to identify which ones that they were abusing. And this year they're running a sex slave business, and the Pope knew about all of it. But you have to ask yourself, if they're going to admit to that, what are they not telling you? And if admitting to running sex slaves, using nuns as sex slaves, is like the distraction good news from the real dirty stuff they were doing, really makes you wonder. We're taking calls on your response to the State of the Union. Let's get right back at it before Zagami joins me. Mark is calling in from the great state of the Rocky Mountains, Colorado. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, I'm just calling about the end of the State of the Union, about an hour and 37 minutes, 15 seconds. I was wondering what the item was that Trump got or who that was.
I am not familiar what you're saying. Are you saying after he was walking out, someone handed him an item?
Correct.
Is anyone in the crew aware of this? I'm sorry, Mark, I missed this one. I have no idea what you're talking about. I was wondering, what was the item in front of Nancy Pelosi? It was like a decanter, it looked like, or something.
I don't think it's anything to be alarmed about, but I was just curious.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what Nancy Pelosi's item was. Again, it's probably nothing. But as far as President Trump being handed an item at the end of the State of the Union last night when he was walking out, I am not familiar with that happening or with that story. Anything else, Mark?
Yeah, about the whole demonic thing you guys have been talking about lately. On the Travel Channel, they've been advertising some scariest, like, possession videos or something like that, ghost stuff. Mm. And they put up a video that I saw 3 years ago about Baby Connor possession. It's on YouTube.
What was that now? Baby demonic possessions?
Baby Connor. If you go on YouTube and search Baby Connor possession.
Yeah. I think I know what you're talking about. It's like a viral video of like a baby looking possessed.
No, he's on the top of his crib standing up on the edge and screaming, crying.
And that wasn't proven fake?
It's actually on the Travel Channel. It's going to be they are advertising.
Okay, yeah, I remember seeing this now. Hey, maybe that's just a future Olympic gymnast, you know?
Sign that kid
up for the gymnast team.
Yeah, I'm just reiterating what you guys are talking about. There's serious stuff going on in this world.
You know, Mark, there is serious stuff going on. I'm not laughing at that. But stuff like that, I kind of just more mark up with just paranormal. I don't talk about paranormal stuff too often, but there's some weird stuff out there, man. I mean, like, you know, I won't get into it now, but yeah, I guess Baby Connor doing gymnastics before he can walk is an interesting one. But no, there's no doubt. I mean, look, hey, put on a Trump hat. Again, most of the people are going to respond to you. You'll probably get 90% positive reviews, but you'll get that one or two crazed leftists that you will see a demon-possessed person. And the hat, the Trump hat, and it's just something about that image that really brings it out of them. Thanks so much for the call, Mark. Luke calling in from my home city, originally of St. Louis. Go ahead, Luke.
How you doing, Owen?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I just wanted to call in and mention how I think it was about in 2016 when you were down at that Trump rally in downtown St. Louis, destroying those Bernie fans. I was right there watching the whole time, and I was thinking, man, someone needs to hire this guy, Fox News, someone.
Wait. Hold up. Luke, you were actually, that was, I believe it was May 16th. Guys, see what you could find. The Trump rally, St. Louis, 2016. I think it was May 16th.
Yeah.
May 16th. I'm going by memory here, but this is going to bother me. I don't know. I'm just being neurotic about this. So, but you know what the funny thing is, Luke? I don't know how long you stuck around that day. So the video, the viral video that features Aide Skrillex and Carl the Cuck, obviously that was the famous one, got seen hundreds of millions of times. All these remakes. The original video on the Alex Jones channel had over 3 million views when they kicked us off. But that moment in time that was captured by former cameraman Josh Owens here, it was a 21-minute video. That was one instance of probably about three or four other instances that had the exact same crap. Now, I don't know if you followed me around that day and witnessed this, but there were four different times where I basically addressed a whole group of Trump haters just like that. It just so happened that one video went viral.
Yeah. I mean, I remember standing there seeing you, and it was pretty awesome. And then seeing the next day it on YouTube, I was like, wow. But yeah, I mean, your channel is amazing watching you guys. And actually at the Women's March in SPL a few weeks back, I actually went and did my own little video kind of styled like yours. And it went pretty good. You know, it's crazy seeing these people out here. And, you know, you're probably one of the best out there with regards to exposing the protesters. But yeah, I just wanted to call in and say about that St. Louis thing. It was pretty awesome.
Young Luke Skywalker, where can we find your YouTube?
My YouTube is at Luke Doss Films. I don't want to plug unless I'm being, you know.
We want to see the power of your Women's March video.
Yeah, you can check it out. It's at Luke Doss Films. It has over like 55,000 views right now, so it's doing pretty good.
What is it, Luke Doss Films, or what's the title of the video?
Confronting Feminists with Facts at STL Women's March.
There it is right there.
You've done well, Luke. Anything else?
That's it, man. Just keep up the good show.
Will do. I always like hearing from St. Louis, my original hometown. Thinking about you guys while you guys are getting hit with like 10 inches of snow. No global warming for St. Louis. All right, we're going to take a quick break here in just 2 minutes, and we're going to start aggregating. We got a bunch of callers still lined up. We just haven't got your names down. So the crew is going to take care of that. I'm going to take care of paying some bills around here. The War Room is brought to you by TurboForce. And the reason why it's brought to you by TurboForce is not only because TurboForce is at InfoWarsStore.com, which pays the bills. It's because now, every day at 3 o'clock, I drink TurboForce. And for folks that have been following the War Room since we started a year and a half ago, I have always drank coffee at 3 o'clock as a stimulant right before I go on air. But I just kind of got sick of the coffee and just didn't really want to go back to drink, three cups of coffee every day when I'm doing the War Room. And we just came out with TurboForce. And here's the thing for me with pre-workouts and energy stuff like this, it's just always gimmicky. I know that most stuff that they put in it is just garbage. And so just instinctually, just at a reactive level, when I knew we were coming out with TurboForce, just because I know that most pre-workouts and energy supplements are garbage, I just kind of tuned out to it. And then Alex just kept getting all hyped about it, and I tried it one day, and it was just like, whoa, that is the real deal. And I'm telling you, I wouldn't be telling you that this was the real deal unless it was. And so now I have gotten coffee I never drink coffee unless I go out to like breakfast or something. I never drink coffee anymore, and I drink TurboForce every day at 3 o'clock as my stimulant to go live on air. A little boost of energy, a little added focus. It's TurboForce from InfoWarsStore.com. And I'm telling you, it is the real deal, ladies and gentlemen. You will feel the effects. They will be almost instantaneous, and they will be sustained throughout the night. I know, even though I took TurboForce at 3 o'clock today, it will sustain me right until I finish playing basketball tonight around 10:30. That's how good that is. That is 7 hours of energy from just the little packet of TurboForce. That is the real deal. You will not find anything else like it on the market, ladies and gentlemen. It's TurboForce from InfoWarsStore.com. And give it a try, and you will feel the effects.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
We're taking your calls, another segment here, and then we're going to be joined by Leo Zagami. President Trump's State of the Union last night was a massive success. Just trying to wrap my head around. Because here's the thing. The average American, I feel like, watches the State of the Union, probably doesn't see or hear too much from the president on an average basis. They're probably not even watching, you know, cable news anymore, other than just, you know, some subtle comfort in the background. And so they probably only saw or heard from President Trump in the last year or so during that State of the Union. And it's so common sense in its presentation and its delivery. That's why it got such strong reviews and such strong approval. And a lot of people are already saying that shores up 2020. I wouldn't go that far. I think that Trump is already the lead dog for that as far as, you know, 2020 is concerned. But let's keep in mind, there's one more State of the Union before the next presidential election. And President Trump has just announced, I think this is kind of a slap in the face of fake Beto O'Rourke. The president has announced he's going to hold his first rally in El Paso. I believe that's Monday. Yes, Monday. So close to the border, Beto O'Rourke's claimed hometown, where they can't stand him. In fact, they think that he and his wife are gangster money. I'm just telling you what people in El Paso think that I've met. But that's where Trump will be doing his first rally. I have to say, I'm upset that I can't be there. And it's funny because this is always what happens. And this is why Alex Jones can never take a break. Something always comes up, and you have to put off vacation or put off taking time off. So when one of the great crew here brought this to me and said, hey, you know, Trump's in El Paso Monday, you're going to go, right? I was like, well, I will not be here. I'm on vacation. So that should be fun. The first rally of 2019, President Trump goes to El Paso, Texas. And you know, I was going to speak at city council tomorrow, but I think I might have somebody fill in for me. It's a little easier on the eyes. Maybe Mayor Adler's probably sick of me anyway. All right, let's go back out to the phone lines here. Let's start with Jefferson calling in from Virginia. Go ahead, Jefferson.
Pretty crazy times up here in Virginia, Owen.
Well, look, it's ridiculous. I mean, this whole blackface thing, it's obviously just stupid. I mean, I don't know why these people do blackface. Okay, whatever. So they clearly released the picture to distract from the guy saying he'd murder a baby outside the womb. And then the other guy, second in line for the governorship, says, hey, I did blackface in the 80s too. Like, oh, great. Wow, thanks. And then the third in line, the lieutenant governor's got these sex assault allegations against him that he's trying to fight. So it's just, I mean, boy, the Democrats have really, really taken a number on the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Yeah, it's pretty nutty what's going on up here at the moment. I think Roger Stone got doxxed during that CNN raid, and you guys can expect when they raid InfoWars to do the same thing to your secret location.
You know, that's actually a great point, Jefferson. And I don't believe that anybody's ever said that. The CNN basically doxxed Roger Stone, and I'm not going to name some of the other names I found out live in that neighborhood. High-profile people, high-profile athletes, good, fine people. But it's like, you think that they appreciate CNN running into their neighborhood, doxing them, and now all this media is outside Roger's house every day hoping they can get a, you know, picture of him, like, farting in his balcony or something? So, yeah, I mean, why is it that it's like, can I just show up? Let's just show up at all the CNN commentators' houses.
You guys should make use of the super deluxe video of the folk song. The first 35 seconds of it is all about Ralph Northam. That's tomorrow's news a year ahead of time. It's amazing what y'all did with that, with the, you know, beating baby parts. That should be put to music.
And you remember, wasn't it? It was Ralph Northam I believe it was Ralph Northam's ad that ran that had a guy in a truck chasing down, I guess, it's all about the image of a guy in a truck. So it's like, you know, the redneck white hillbilly in the truck, conservative in the truck, and he's running down like Hispanic kids. He's like trying to run them over. And the whole message is, this is what conservatives want to do. They want to run over. They want to run over immigrants in the streets. They want to run over children in the streets. How racist of them. I believe that was a Ralph Northam ad. And then it turns out this guy's, I guess, the racist.
The group that ran the ad, he didn't actually make the ad himself, but he didn't disavow it. So that's just as bad.
That was governor race, right?
Yes, it was. Gillespie was the candidate for the Republicans. He was being maligned by this group that Northam should have said, that's just despicable what y'all did. I don't endorse that. But he didn't stand up for what was right in that instance either. So that's what we're stuck with at the moment up here in the uncommonwealth of Virginia.
Yeah, there it is. The Ed Gillespie, anti-Ed Gillespie ad features minority kids chased by a man in a truck. And that's Virginia politics now.
As far as the State of the Union goes, I'm a little disappointed that the president didn't ask Congress to do something about internet censorship. He really needs to get on that issue in a big way if he's going to win in 2020. He's sleeping on this.
Yeah, I don't know if the president fully understands it yet. And again, there's a level of arrogance to the president and pride. And I'm not trying to, this isn't me being critical of Trump per se. This is just me calling it as it is. And the truth is, yes, Trump is the reason why Trump got elected. But if it wasn't for InfoWars during the primaries, he would have never gotten over that hump. And that's the key takeaway that I'm not sure the president understands. Because here's what's going to happen. Once the president starts doing these rallies and once the campaign process really heats up and everybody's going on to YouTube to find the breaking videos, the live reports, all the live presidential coverage, you won't be able to find InfoWars. We will be gone. You can't find us on YouTube. You can't find us on Facebook. You can't find us on Twitter, which is where most of the traffic is going to get the latest breaking coverage and to maybe make up their mind on a certain race or a certain issue. And we've just been totally erased. The good news is, you know, thousands of others have sprouted up in our place. But the problem is they don't have near the power. They don't have near the audience. And most of them aren't even allowed to go live because of YouTube's new rules. I think you have to have like 10,000 and a certification to go live now. So that's part of this censorship issue. It's literally moving the Overton window so that people can only see one perspective, one side of the aisle, and the most effective and hardcore and piercing news organization, InfoWars, is no longer allowed to exist. So I don't know if the president fully understands that yet. I don't know if anybody on his administration fully understands that yet. Honestly, probably not. Quite frankly, probably they just don't understand it, and that's why they're not addressing it. And they have this own hubris that they believe they can just pull everything off and they'll be just fine. No, you need us, not just InfoWars, but everyone else that's been censored. Hey, we're going to be right back with Leo Zagami to talk about the Pope admitting none sex slaves.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
There's cucks.
You're fucking a white male.
And then there's the cuck slayer. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Leo Zagami joins me now from leozagami.com. A regular guest of the show. It's been said he has the best Italian accent in talk radio, but I'll let you be the judge of that. Now, there is a really, really strange, disturbing, disgusting, despicable story coming out of the Vatican right now. Now, last year they had to admit that Catholic priests were putting certain necklaces and jewelry on boys so they could identify which ones were, the ones that they could abuse or the ones they had abused. They had to admit about gay sex orgies happening inside the Vatican. And then this week, the Pope has come out and made a public announcement, an admission that they were using nuns as sex slaves. Now, Leo, I'm not really sure the angle to take on this because it's like, one, we should be pointing this out, saying, look at what has happened in the Vatican here. Look at what has happened under this Pope. Look at all of these scandals. Why isn't the whole world raising a fuss about this? Where's the Me Too movement for these nuns that are sexually abused? But Leo, really, I think the story is, if they're admitting to having nuns as sex slaves, if they're admitting they're basically running a prostitution ring with these nuns out of the Vatican, if they're willing to admit that, what is it that they're not telling us?
Well, hello, Owen. What they're not admitting is much worse, because they're involved in the harvesting of organs, in human trafficking, which, of course, is always covered by the Catholic Church. So the nuns, we actually talked about, if you remember, about the scandals with the nuns that were already unveiled by a colleague, a journalist called Philip Villain, many, many years ago in 2001. And nothing was done. Now, finally, the Osservatore Romano, which is the official publication of the Vatican, had to admit yesterday that they were very slow in acting. And the Pope, on his way back from the foundation of Chrislam, because that's what he did in the United Arab Emirates, he founded Chrislam, and he was there with the Imam of Al-Khazari, and all this situation of Sunni Islam, the elders all together, so he could finally join hands with them. But aside from that, on the way back, he was on the plane, and he had to admit, and he admitted for the first time, that his bishops have enslaved nuns, and that he is actually working on it. He didn't say that he has a solution or he's going to make something, he's going to impose something. No, he's working on it. I think that the upcoming synod that we have at the end of February, now that everybody's waiting, is going to be the bigger event since the Second Vatican Council. Vaticanists from all over the world are coming to Rome. It's starting, the preparatory stages will be on the 17th of February. The Pope is expected to act for this problem of pedophilia, which is, of course, destroying the Catholic Church. But I think that we will be disappointed, because in the end, Pope Francis already gave the answer when he was on his way back from Panama last week. And he said, well, there is pedophilia everywhere these days, even in your families. You should look better in your families. I mean, this guy has a bunch of pedos running his church, and he wants people to look in their families. So this is the level of hypocrisy, as we know, of Pope Francis, which I have defined as a perfectly possessed individual. Pope Francis is possessed by demons. Actually, he's possessed by one of the biggest demons, because he's enacting the prophecy of being the false prophet himself.